Welcome back, and what's up, friends, fans, and film fanatics, as we discuss once again the greatest movie trivia in the entire world. It's World Championship, it's titles on the line, and this week it's not just any title, it's the big one. That's right. First up, we've got a great undercard as two amazing trivia competitors face off in the ring. Will Bibbiani squash the spider, or will Chance Ellison find himself on a lucky day taking down the beast? Who knows? We will discuss that one for you, folks. And of course, there's the big news, the giant match. The title is on the line. Returning after years away from the ring, Sam Levine taking on Lady Justice herself, Marisol McKee. Will the Inglorious One invite another title reign into his home, or will justice be served for the lady herself? We'll find out all that and more as I discuss with my co-hosts. Ryan and Keith are here to join me as we talk about everything that happened this week in the Schmodown. And hello, fans. I am, you know me, the Elk. I am here to help you break it all down, and I can't do it by myself. So let's say hello to the crew. They are here today. It is Ryan, and I quote, Permison. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. Boy, oh boy, what a pay-per-view event this was, and I cannot wait to dive into all things Schmodown today.
It certainly was an exciting night. Keith, did you enjoy this one?
Yeah, it was everything just kind of raised stakes, just that little 5-10% with a title on the line. And as Ryan said, there's so much to get into. So listen, let's not waste any more time, I say.
Hey, not just a title on the line, but a title on the line between two of the strongest competitors we've ever seen, statistically at least. These are people who've had more title defenses than anybody else when it comes to that big belt, Sam Levine and Lady Justice. But before we start talking about them, we've got some other things that happened this week. Let's go ahead and get into all of that and break it all down. First and foremost, I want to talk about a team's title match coming up. That's right. The team's title will be on the line. We've got Shazam facing off against Corruption for the team's titles. Hold on. I think I've heard this one before, except the new twist this time is if Corruption loses, they have to break up. Ryan, you love Corruption. Corruption are your boys and girls out there in the MTS. They are running the game, and they definitely have been for some time now. But if this goes down, if Chance and Mike break up, what's that going to mean?
You know, it's going to be unfortunate if that should happen, if it should happen. But you know what? It's Corruption. They've always got a plan. Shannon is the best manager in the business today. She is the best manager in the sport today. So I have every confidence that Corruption are going to bring the tag team titles back to where they belong. Right here, baby. Right here. Right here. But if for some reason, if for some little minuscule reason that Shazam is able to beat them and that stipulation stands, it'll be a bit devastating. I'll be a bit upset for about 2 minutes. And then after those 2 minutes, I'll say to myself, you know what? Shannon's got a plan. She always does. She's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be is Corruption, the NWO, the MTS. Yeah. So they're going to be fine. And yes, Corruption, I'm rooting for you 110% to win those team titles and bring him back. Now, my question is Shannon going to go back to Coy and say, hey, you gave us a stipulation. Now we're going to give you one. So we'll see, because Christian did say, I'm going to pitch this to Shannon, see, hear what she has to say, and I'll get back to you. So we'll see what the chairman has to say about that.
Well, I mean, that would add a little more excitement to the matchup. Personally, I think if ever there's a team to take down competitors the caliber of Mike and Chance, because you have to admit they are absolutely at the top of their game. They have been doing some damage throughout the league for going on years now, actually. But if there's anyone who can beat them, it is probably Brendan, and it is probably William the Beast Bibbiani, maybe one of the greatest competitors in the history of the Schmodown. Keith, you're the guy who follows the numbers. You're the guy who breaks it all down. Shazam, Corruption, will we be seeing a team break up, or will we be seeing new title holders, do you think?
It's funny, like, because I obviously we got the scene, and then you kind of, as I suppose from my perspective, you just kind of quickly scan back the last two meetings and kind of work out what happened. And the first one, the narrative behind it was very much that Mike didn't show up. Mike didn't show up. He only got three in round one, and that kind of meant that Shazam only needed to hit a two and a three to win the titles. The second time around, the speed round was the big factor that helped get things back on Corruption's favor. I know Shazam missed their five, which brought it to sudden death, and we all know how that played out. You know, again, it kind of goes back to everything we were saying before, like, this is a new season, that this new strategy involved. I feel like this could be, listen, we'll talk about it later, the wild card wasn't a factor in the match, in the title match this week. I feel like Shazam could bring that in to this title match and make that be an extra factor, and an extra bullet in the chamber. But listen, right now, it's very hard to not say Shazam's going to defend again.
I mean, these two have been absolute wrecking balls. Brandon the Kid Meyer only getting better every time he steps into the ring. And William the Beast Bibbiani, I mean, he started out with a perfect game. From the beginning, he's been one of those people to watch. He's held the big titles, not just one, but both of the big titles. Brandon has been not too far away from achieving that feat as well. Personally, I have to agree with you, Keith, and I think that when you're looking at this matchup, you've got Corruption, who are an amazing team, and on any given day, with the right luck, can pull out a victory, but it's hard to bet against Shazam here. I think Lightning might strike, and I think it could be the end for Chance and Mike. Much as I hate to say that, I think they're an amazing team. If they do have to break up, at the very least, there will be two people in the MTS who are very happy, whoever their new partners end up being, because Mike and Chance are competitors par excellence, in my opinion. That being said, of course, we got teams, titles, matchups. We've got all sorts of other stuff going on, and maybe another matchup, but we're not sure yet. That's right. We've got Ben Bateman talking to Kate Mulligan after the show, and they are ready. Kate wants to jump out. She wants to get out there. She wants to challenge. She wants to be in a matchup against somebody. But who? Who is it? Who does Ben want to challenge? He says they'll wait for Titans. On Titans, we're going to see that challenge get thrown down, potentially. But who could it be? Me, personally, I'm holding out hope for Andrew Guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about this one as well, and I think there's – I think there's three possible people that Ben is calling out. So if you look at the rankings, Ben is on, he's outside the top 10. So he's on the outside looking in. So he kind of needs to make a big statement victory to get him back into that kind of top eight figure. If we look at the top 10, a lot of the people there have a dance partner already, bar one person, Paul Oyama. So I think that Ben challenges Paul. The winner of that then will get a boost up into kind of like a 5-6 spot, you'd have to say. The two of them have previous of obviously playing in a title fight before. I think that's one option. I think then to the same point of kind of putting yourself back into the rankings, Kalinowski's in a kind of like the 15-16 spot. I think if he takes on a name like Mike and gets the job done there, then that's another option that maybe brings Ben into the top 10. And then the final option that I think, listen, we all know Kate burned down the den, took everyone out of it, Barsall and Harper. So why not take on Paul Preston and put him in his place as well? And then that kind of just ties back a lot of history in the sense that Wit managed Bateman, Bateman's with Kate, Kate managed Preston. It just kind of all ties in, not only from a storyline point of view, but just from a history point of view. So I think it's one of those three. But listen, based on what I said last week and what happened on Titans this week, I was massively wrong then, and more than likely I'll be wrong again.
Certainly, we are used to it by now, Keith. Definitely a mistake could be made out there, but we've got a challenge going down, and you've laid out some real possibilities. Ryan, I'm going to ask you the same, but how about this? Why don't we go crazy? Let's go out there in the world of the Schmodown. Anybody in the Schmodown can be the person that's going to be challenged by Ben Bateman. What's the most exciting outcome for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've already been down this road with Team Action Civil War. Didn't end well. The hype didn't live up to that match, unfortunately. I would have liked to have seen that gone a bit of a different way. I don't think Ben's going to challenge Andrew. Andrew's going to be comfortable sitting at the announcer's desk calling the matches, which is great for him. I wish him nothing but great success. Andrew Guy, you're still cool, man. But as far as who Ben Bateman's going to challenge, man, it could honestly, I really don't have a name for this one because it could be anybody because there's so many new competitors coming in and people coming through this season. There's also some veterans that are making the return, you know, which we'll talk more about later. But I don't know, Ben Bateman, he's gone up against a lot of competitors in the past, so many of them, and some have been repeat competitors, things like that, things here that go out here and there. I really don't know. I don't want to say I'm going to pull a CB. I'm going to be on the fence. But I'm just going to say Friday Night Titans is so far this season. We're only like, what, 4 weeks into this season? There have been surprises. So I'm just going to sit back like everyone else in their backstage area or in their studios in the comfort of their own homes. I'm just going to see it play out. So I really don't have a name for this one. I think whoever Ben Bateman's going to challenge or whatever's going on in Kate Mulligan's mind, because we all know that Kate Mulligan is a little woo-hoo cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So could be anybody. She could challenge Godzilla for all we know. I have no idea. But good luck, Ben Bateman. Good luck. You know, you got a new suit, new manager, whatever's going on in your mind, new shades maybe. I don't know. I think you've had those same shades for like 8 years. But good luck to you, boss. See how it goes.
So you heard it here first, folks. The upcoming Friday Night Titans will see a challenge thrown down. Ben Bateman versus, that's right, the Beast from the East himself, the glowing green monster, Godzilla, will be joining the Movie Trivia Showdown. And this is directly from my source, Ryan Purvison. Wonderful news for everybody. I personally think this should be an exciting matchup no matter who gets challenged, because you know there's a lot of people stacked at the top of that card. I think it's fair to say, and you guys will agree with me, when it comes to the top tip-top of the MTS, there's one or two people right at the top, and below them, there's about a dozen people always jockeying for position. There's one thing we know Ben Bateman wants more than anything else. It's the title. I think we could see some exciting stuff no matter who the challenge is against. Could it be someone like a Mr. Irwin, someone like, as Keith said, a Paul Preston? We will have to wait and find out what Ben and Kate do when they put their heads together. Boy. That is going to be exciting either way. So we've got Shazam and Corruption for the team titles coming up. If Corruption lose, they're breaking up, and we'll all be very sad about that. But of course, as I mentioned, two people would be very happy if that were to happen, whoever gets them as teammates, because Chance and... and Mike, they are teams killers. Of course, they're going up against the ultimate tag team in Shazam. Brendan and the Beast are amazing. I think these are some amazing matchups. And I think we had some amazing, exciting matchups this week on Friday Night Titans. How can you get any bigger, folks, than this kind of card? When William the Beast Bibbiani versus Chance Ellison is your undercard, you know you're in for a show, but it's all about the main event. Marisol McKee looking to defend for a third time. Sam Levine coming back from retirement, and both on the cusp of, I believe it's 9 wins. You follow the stats closer than I do, Keith. Either way, this is literally a lights out matchup. This is two champions, both potentially at the top of their game. We've only seen Sam back for one match. We're going to break down everything that happened in all of the matches, all of the action. And for that, I turn it on over to my man, Keith.
I mean, Elk, you set it up perfectly. Listen, to get William Bibbiani and Chance Ellison as your undercard match, a fight which I think we can all say would headline any week at any given stage, was completely exciting this week. And listen, let's break this match down, because there's an awful lot here to talk about. It ends 8-8 after round one. Bibb's missing the new release question of Frank Grillo and Naomi Watts in the movie Boss Level, him saying Cop Shop. Chance misses the movie release dates question of The Island, Corpse Bride and Fever Pitch. He doesn't wager, I guess, for some reason. And then they both miss the fact that Kate Hudson was not in Failure to Launch. Coming into round two, then obviously Bibb's being the higher ranked player, he just decides to defer to Chance, and who decides to get Kevin Smith on his second spin. He goes 4 of 5 for 8 points and gives up a possible 1 point steal, but Bibbs can't take it with the answer of Hero Clerks in reference to the Yoger Hosers question in the fifth question of the round. Bibbs on his first spin decides to take historical epics and dramas, another new category, or maybe it's just a retooling of other categories and they're just kind of placed it in here. And he also goes 4 of 5 for 8 points, but the only difference is he gives up a 1 point steal on the last question, and the answer being Brian Cox being the character actor in Troy. This then really turns the table. I think we all said last week about Chance trying to get out in front, trying to stay out in front, and then having to hold himself then in the round three. And he's got an opportunity to do that, being 17-16 up after round two. Both twos and threes are hit easily by Bibbs and Chance. And then Bibbs pulls this amazing 5 in animated, knowing that Michael Caine, Maggie Smith, Ozzy Osbourne, and Stephen Merchant were in Romeo and Juliet. He could also have said Sherlock Gnomes was the other option of an answer on this one. Ellison for his 5 for the win in remakes and reboots of who was the actor in Total Recall, Solaris, and Star Trek. He says Carl Urban, the correct answer being John Cho. And your winner, 26-22 to Bibbs, solidifying his place in top four rankings, calls out for a title shot in his post-match interview, goes to an amazing record of 16 wins and 11 defeats, which is just absolutely crazy. Chance goes down to a 7-6 record, probably dropping from his number 7 point to maybe around kind of like the 9, 10, 11 range now. But listen, what a way to kick this off. And I think the big talking point here is, far from my perspective, is it's that round two play of the steal that could have been versus the steal that didn't happen. But that was just one of the things that kind of stood out to me as we got kicked into this.
So here's the thing, Keith. The thing that stood out to me in this match, yeah, the Agamemnon from Troy, Brian Cox, I knew that one. And by the way, Chance, I wish I was in the arena with you because I was yelling John Cho at the five-pointer. I knew his five-pointer because I knew he was the mechanic in the Total Recall remake, you know, implanting the memories into Quaid's mind. I knew he was in Star Trek 09. Solaris, I kind of missed that he was in that movie because, I mean, I've seen it, but it's been a hot minute, right? But as soon as they said Total Recall and Star Trek 09, I'm like, it's got to be John Cho. It's got to be. And I was like, Chance, it's John Cho. It's John Cho. But unfortunately, Chance didn't hear my telepathic answers. He didn't receive them in his noggin. So is it devastating for me that Chance lost this match? Yes. But at the same time, listen, those are five-pointers, okay? For Beast to pull out, what was it, Romeo and Juliet, that's insane. That is insane. Great pull by Beast. Listen, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Congrats to the Beast Bibiani. Congratulations to Chance Ellison, because none of these competitors have anything to hang their hats on at all. They played very well. They used their JTEs when they had to. They you know, spun from something or whatever when they wanted to, and just – listen, it could come down to a steal, or it could come to really round three is the difference maker. And to a certain degree, in my opinion, I feel round three is the difference maker. So this was a great match by both competitors. The rivalry between Shazam and Corruption, yeah, it continues, but it's such a fun rivalry to see because to me, it's a seesaw. You know what I mean? Some, you know, people on Shazam get wins, people on Corruption. It's a seesaw battle. They're just a tit for tat, punch for punch, kick for kick. You see what I'm saying? So great match. It may not have been the result that I wanted, but listen, we got a great entertaining match with some incredibly well-written questions, with some, you know, kind of twists on certain categories. Maybe they've been retitled. Maybe they've been reworked here and there. And then you see the wheel and how certain categories have been shaped up. It's amazing. The production value of the Schmodown has gone up tenfold, and the question writers are just killing it. They're killing it. So congrats to both competitors and congratulations to both managers because they both put on a heck of a match and they left it all out in the center of that ring. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, Ryan, I think this is a match up for, you know, maybe not match of the year by the end of this year. And we're going to find out why in a couple of minutes, folks. Trust me on that one. But we've got two guys who are at the top of their game. I said it before, Chance Ellison, William the Beast Bibiani. These are two underappreciated guys. Chance Ellison has been a tag team staple with Mike. He's been fighting in there. He's been in the title picture. He's one of those guys who's just having trouble breaking into that upper echelon, that top 12, that top 10 that we were talking about already. And Chance Ellison at any moment could erupt into a new top-of-the-line superstar. He could be champ and hold it for a year. I would not be surprised. And William Bibiani, you said it yourself, Keith, 16-11 is an incredibly impressive record. And don't forget, William the Beast Bibiani started by playing the best players in the league. His early opponents were people like John Rocha and Mark Andrako and Dan Merle. He kept facing the toughest competition and came out where he is now. And you guys talked about round two and round three being important. How about that round number one? Enough variety in the questions, as you said, Ryan, great by the writers, in order to throw each of these competitors for a loop. And real tricky with that failure to launch question. You know they weren't going to think of Sarah Jessica Parker. Why would they? What a good question by the writers. I think all throughout these three rounds, we have some very, very interesting situations. I love the deferral in round two, especially with the wild cards on the board. But in the end, the story kind of ends up where we've always seen it. Chance fights with everything he's got. He presses with his answers, but he just can't get the big win when he needs to. And William the Beast Bibiani is a workhorse. He stands tall near the top of the card, maybe not right at the tippy top, but second, third, fourth position, and he just keeps taking down everybody who comes his way. Never was there a more apt title for a Schmodown competitor than The Beast when it comes to William Bibbiani, and I'm looking forward to see him get his rematch against Chance in that big team's title match. And, of course, Ryan, because you're my friend, I'll say I hope that Corruption doesn't have to break up there, but they're up against a real wrecking ball in Shazam.
No, I agree with you 100%. 100%. It's going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be a great teams match. Like I said, it's going to be a seesaw. It's going to be kick for kick, punch for punch. And at the end of the day, if it goes down to sudden death, I mean, that'll be something else, right? Sudden death in a new studio, in a new setting. I mean, that's going to be something else. Am I right? So anything's possible, but you know how I feel. Corruption all the way for life. You're going to get those tag team titles back where they belong, I might add. Jeez. Everybody's so nice on Shazam. I'm sick of people being nice. So let's do it.
Hey, guys, real quick. We have to ask about it. It's the elephant in the room. Did you like the entrance?
I didn't Amazing.
Care for it. I didn't really care for it. The 51-50 sign. Okay, yeah. Keep rubbing it in our faces that match happened, Beast. Keep doing that. But listen, as Chance said in the post-game interview, when we see each other again in that ring, it's going to be a completely different outcome. Give us a set of numbers. So better watch your back there, Beast, because the Cobra's coming for you. And so is the Mike Killer Count. They're coming. Coming for those belts, and they are going to do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Parmesan, are we going to have to listen to this for another month until this match is actually aired? Like, you just hyping up Corruption, even if they're not playing. Is that what this is going to work, is it?
Because it's my job. I'm the hype man.
That's fair. No, but I think there's an interesting thing that kind of coming out of this match where, obviously, Bibb's very, very strong about like wanting a title shot next. It's something that we haven't really seen in his character much in the last couple of years. But the thing about Chance that I would actually like to get your views on, and Ryan, hopefully you can be a little bit sort of, you know, pared back a little bit. But I'm just wondering, is Chance the kind of player that he's in the bracket of, say, like a JTE and Janine, where he's kind of always going to hover around this sort of 500 mark, maybe get like a burst to get a run to a title shot and then even back out again? Or I suppose the big thing is like the sustained game-on-game pressure is always there for him, but the results aren't. And so what's going wrong, do we think?
Well, I mean, if you had to ask me, Keith, I'd say in the case of a player like Chance Ellison, and I might be repeating myself a little bit, but there really is a tight core of top competitors in the MTS. We're going to see a title match against two people who are phenomenal competitors. We're going to talk about that one. But who else do you have at the top of the card? You have people who are crushing it, who are getting every answer right, who are killing their field. You have to break through Mike Kalinowski. You have to break through Dan Merle. You have to break through Sam Levine and Marisol McKee and Adam Collins. And I could go on. There are other people who are in that upper echelon who you have to get through. It's not just a wall you're facing down. It's a wall covered by a force field protected by armored cars. Okay? This is why Chance is having trouble breaking into that top part, is because there's so much talent there. That being said, I think Chance has that talent. I think Chance has the right luck on the right day. He is going to go on that run you're talking about, Keith. But as we know in the Schmodown, nothing lasts forever. Everybody eventually loses that title. So he'll fall back and probably end up in kind of the same position he's in now. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He is one of the greatest competitors in the league. It's just, I'm sorry, he's bringing a knife to a gunfight when it comes to some of the people at the top of the card. And that's nothing against Chance, his ability, or maybe even the ability for him to improve and prove me wrong and take that spot. I just don't see how it's going to happen anytime soon.
Ryan, where do you sit in this kind of comment that we're bringing forward?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Chance has had some tough questions, tough matches, and he always seems to hover around the 500 mark, or maybe just one or two above 500, you know, when it comes to wins versus losses. But look, you know, maybe he just, you know, maybe, I mean, he studies very, very well. I mean, I'm pretty sure that he does. Granted, I'm not there sitting in the studio while they're practicing, but man, Chance, I believe in you, man. It just takes some time. Maybe, you know, try to study more some of the things you may not, you know, some of your weaknesses, you know, get back on the horse with some of those and, you know, try to up your game a little bit there. But listen, anything's possible on any given day. It could be your day. And when Chance goes back to the training room, if you will, hits the books, watches a few more films, gets some, you know, some knowledge under his belt, respectively, I think he could, you know, I think he could flip the script and get more wins than he would have losses. So he can get out of this whole 500 range, or maybe somewhere hovering around the 500 range, if you know what I mean.
No, that's fair enough. And listen, commiserations a chance. Congratulations to Bibbs. And I think, listen, let's take all the time that we have now and break down in depth this title match between Marisol McKee, 8-1, taking on the returning Sam Levine, 11-4. You know, in a match that, listen, spoilers, everyone knows at this stage, like, to be 100% and 100% is just absolutely ridiculous. But yet there's still so much to talk about. So round one ends 11-11, double perfects. I think the big point in note here is that three questions within the 10 were actually horror-based. The new releases question referenced Halloween, the sequel.
Halloween Kills, yeah.
Yeah. 2010s referenced Ready or Not, and then there was an actual horror question. So it was interesting that even though it's a widespread knowledge, it was still kind of, you know, one category affected three of the 10 questions. 11-11, as we said, Marisol defers to Sam in round two, who decides on his first spin, having spun comedy, to take it. And with a wheel that had the Andersons rom-com, Bill Murray, SCTV alumni, 50s Cornetto Trio, holiday films, Spike Lee, movie release dates, Harrison Ford, Elk, were you surprised to see Levine take a broad slice?
You know, for a lot of competitors, I would say yes. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of not playing the broad wheel slices. 90s is every movie that's happened in the 90s. And if that's a decade you grew up watching movies, and sure, that's great. But taking those broad categories can be dangerous, unless you're Sam Levine. Sam Levine is one of those players who just knows almost everything, even the categories he thinks he's bad. And you ever watch a Sam Levine match and watch him go, oh boy, when a category comes up, only to 3 seconds later ace the damn thing? Not to mention, who's he hanging out with? You know who Sam Levine's friends are? He's hanging out with Rachel. He's hanging out with Mark. He's hanging out with all these people. Sam Levine doesn't need to worry about what category he takes. All he needs to worry about is the respin. And as a deferral to a spin with three wild cards on the board, three things that you don't know what they're going to be. One of them is opponent's choice, and you never know where you're going to land on that second spin. I think taking the broad choice is correct for Sam here, if only because his knowledge is already so broad that he's probably going to do fine. And as it turns out, yeah.
What about you, Ryan? Were you surprised to see this happen, taking the what we're kind of perceiving to be a broad slice?
Not really, because Sam Levine is just so well-rounded. He knows his stuff. I mean, this guy doesn't look a day over 21, but he's got the beard to prove that he's older. It's like, dang, Sam, what are you doing to yourself, man? But at the same time, this guy knows stuff. Like, and the other thing is, and we'll get to this a little bit later, as far as I wouldn't say it was strategy, but it does come into play in the entirety of this match. But no, I wasn't really surprised for him to take comedy. He's been in, you know, he's worked in the business. He was on a television show, for Pete's sake. That was like a dramedy.
Heck, he was in one of the movies from round one.
Yeah, I mean, which I didn't even know, Sam. I didn't even know you were in I Love You, Beth Cooper. I've never even seen the movie. I know Hayden Panettiere was on the poster because she plays a top character, and she's quite pretty. But I didn't know you were in it, man. So kudos. But no, I wasn't surprised he took comedy, and he did well.
That he did. He went 5 for 5 for 10 points, which Marisol then replies in kind on the Jodie Foster category, also going 5 for 5 for 10. 21-21 after round two. Coming into round three, Marisol spins the wheel for the betting round, gets Harrison Ford, spins again, is saddled with Harrison Ford again. They both bet and get 3 points with the answer of the Morning Glory question. Then it comes to round four, the speed round, which I think is, we can all say that there's an awful lot going on here for something that could happen so quickly. So Sam and Marisol take the first two each, 25-25 at this stage, and then Sam pulls away completely, gets the Evan Almighty pull on question three with a very, very limited knowledge of, or very, sorry, very, very limited detail on the question, which is without doubt one of the standout sexy moment of the round, if you will. But I think almost the next question, the question four of the Ridley Scott Russell Crowe last collaboration, I think, was just as impressive, knowing Robin Hood in that moment to be able to like drift back into their categories, their careers, apologies, and then pulls out question five, 25-28 to Levine going into round five. Marisol hits her 2 and 3. Sam replies in kind on his 2 and 3 to bring us to the brink. Marisol in her five-pointer gets the subtitle of the sixth Halloween franchise movie, The Curse of Michael Myers, which actually happened to be an FCL question last year. I checked my records because I actually thought that I'd heard that one before. And then Sam, for the win on his five in musicals, knowing that Oklahoma is the musical featuring the song people will say were in love, saying in the post-match interview that it was a play that his mum used to bring him to. So he just had to go through his own history and figure that out. But listen, what a fight, 35-38, and your winner, and new two-time singles champion of the world, Sam Levine. I mean, I'm tripping over my words because it was just an absolute exhibition of trivia play. But guys, listen, Firehead, what did you think of this all?
Andrew?
Oh, I mean, what more can you say about a match than perfect? I mean, there's two competitors here who are going to prove against each other and for everybody watching that there's no flukes, there's no screwing around. When it comes to being the champ in the movie trivia showdown, neither one of them is going to step back from anybody for any reason at any time. They face tough questions throughout this whole thing. I love the questions by the writers in this matchup. Morning Glory, I love that film, and I couldn't pull it in 15 seconds. I was just racking my brain saying, what is the name of that stupid movie? Yes, I know you got it, Ryan, because you always get it. We're aware. You are the movie trivia competitor here. I just announce things nowadays. But we've got Sam and we've got Marisol going against each other. Sam takes a big risk in the speed round, but against a competitor like Marisol, I actually don't mind this. Take the shot. If you lose the point, maybe something will happen later, but you're tied. You have to throw a punch in and stagger your opponent at this point. You have to get those points in the speed round. This is the round to separate yourself, and Sam Levine separates himself in the speed round. He always has, and it's looking like maybe he always will. What a matchup from both competitors all the way through. The only thing that disappointed me about this matchup, and there is one thing that disappointed me about this matchup, I love our new champ. Congratulations to Sam. I love the way Marisol fought and the class that she and Shannon actually stepped forward and showed at the end, passing the title over and in the post-match interview. The only disappointment I have, and I'm looking at you, Christian Harloff, when I say this, a number one contenders match after two defenses, automatic rematch, sir.
Yeah, definitely.
That is a fair point, because as someone who grew up watching pro wrestling, one of the things that happens is if the champ loses their belt to their opponent, the former champ automatically gets a rematch, gets another shot at getting their belt back respectively. So Christian, it's funny you bring that up, Andrew, because that's a fairly valid point. Because listen, I grew up watching wrestling. I know the code. I know how it goes. And unfortunately, we're not going to get a rematch automatically between Marisol and Sam, because that would sell out Madison Square freaking Garden if I had it my way. So let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a behind-the-scenes story here real quick, because I do have thoughts on this match. There's a lot of thoughts I have on this match. So let me tell you something. We practice something every day on Clubhouse, and it's an app that you use through your phone, right? So I'm in this room every day. It's called the Daily Gratitude Room, where we get to share what we are grateful for, right? So I want to take this opportunity, and Christian, Mark, everyone, the producers, the writers, the cameramen, the camerawomen, the people who work their butts off to put these matches on you know, in front of a live audience or in front of an audience, I am grateful that the Movie Trivia Schmodown exists. I'm grateful that I have loved movies since I was five. I am grateful that there is a sport out there known as the Movie Trivia Schmodown, because I'm grateful that both these matches happened. I'm grateful that even though my faction, because I do have bias here, ladies and gentlemen, that Corruption didn't get the 1-2 punch that I wanted them to have, which in this case is two victories in the same night, one by Cobra and the other for Marisol to retain her title, I'm still grateful that these matches happened. Because if you have never heard of movie trivia or the sport of movie trivia or bar trivia, whatever, if you never heard of any of this stuff and you watch these two matches, these to me, I mean, there are a number of matches for those of us who have watched the MTS for as long as we can remember, if not since the beginning. But if you want to know what movie trivia is, and if you want to know how passionate people are about why they love movies so much, watch these two matches. Because these two matches clearly demonstrate that we love movies and we work hard to test ourselves and to push ourselves to the limits with practicing and watching these movies and having these managers, having these factions that work so hard to walk into that studio and put on a good show for us, the fans, who are talking about this right now on this very program. So I want to say thank you to Christian, Mark, Andrew Guy, the people at the announcers, the pit boss, Ken Knapsack, all you guys in the back who bust your chops to make sure that the tech stuff is working, to make sure that the competitors are ready, that they are primed, and the managers that work so hard to make sure that their competitors are ready. Listen, Sam Levine, you never really left. See, this is the thing that I want to bring up here when it comes to this match. I would love to have seen what would have happened if Sam Levine stuck to his retirement and didn't come back as a commissioner, didn't come back as a faction leader with the usual suspects, and he just took off and focused on his projects. But then 4 years later, he says, you know what? I'm itching to get back in the game, Christian. Let's see. I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if Sam walked in with being away from the game for 4 years, because we saw what happened with Dan Merle when he took a step back and focused on his projects and focused on whatever he was doing. I think it was Screen Junkies at the time, Andrew. I'm not sure. But we saw what happened with Dan Merle coming back. We saw one of the biggest upsets in the history of the game. With this, I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if Sam had come back without, you know, being a manager, being ensconced as a commissioner, and still being within the realm of MTS and being behind the scenes. I would like to have seen that. But listen, that's neither here nor there. Sam Levine came in here. He knew what he was doing. The speed round, he was locked in. You could see it on his face. You could see it you could feel it in the arena that he was dialed in round four. And then when round five came up, let me tell you something. I don't know how you were feeling about this, Keith, but when he dropped Oklahoma, I'm thinking, I don't know if that's right, because I was thinking of a different musical. Granted, musicals isn't one of my biggest strengths, but I'm thinking, I don't know if that's right or not. But then when we're waiting on Pins and Needles and they drop the announcement of who actually, I'm like, wow. I was just saying wow the entire time. I was saying wow. I was like, that's amazing that he was able to pull it. But listen, at the end of the day, I'm grateful to be in the studio with you two fine gentlemen. I'm grateful that this sport exists. I'm grateful that we got these two matches. I'm grateful that the MTS is continuing to grow and progress and evolve. So congratulations to Sam Levine as being the new world champion. But as they said in the post game, you got a target on your back now, Sam. You got a target on your back. So better watch where you step, boy. Better watch where you step. But Marisol, you got nothing to hang your hat on, nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be upset about. You did a great job. You represented our faction very well. You made us proud. And this is a great moment. This is one of the best moments in the history of sports, in my opinion. It really is. So great stuff, great matches, great questions. Because, by the way, those questions in round one, those were some really tough, tough questions. These question writers are not messing around, brothers. Yeah. So great job to the question writers, everyone involved in this production. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that we got these matches so soon. So soon. We're in the beginning of the flipping season. It's ridiculous, Keith. It's ridiculous. Yeah, but congrats, guys. Congrats to everybody, because the MTS is here to stay, and I cannot wait to see what happens next. Because, as I said, we could have gotten a 1-2 punch of corruption, or is it the start of a new era for the Beast Bibiani and for Sam Levine coming back? It's the beginning of a new era, guys, and we're all in store for one heck of a ride. Am I right, Keith?
Well, yeah, and I think, listen, it really, I completely echo everything you're saying. And the funny thing is now, Levine does have a target on his back because there's so many sharks coming behind him. Like, Marisol has two defenses. You could very much argue that she deserves a rematch. Irwin, Bibiani, Merle still has to come out and play. You know, Oyama's got his free-for-all title shot yet. We're all,
you know,
presuming
Collins' new team is going to be asking for him to get that shot.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, there's so many options coming out of this, you know, whatever happens with Bateman and that. Like, this, you know, Brendan the Kid Meyer, he had a nice win over JTE the other week as well. So, like, this is going to heat up very, very quickly. And, you know, we're going to end up saying this an awful lot every week. Like, I can't believe that X and Y is an undercard. I can't believe that X and Y are playing for a number one contender match. I can't believe X's season is done until the tournament. Like, this is what's going to happen over the next few months, because everything is just going to bottleneck up. And that just is a testament to the quality of competitor that I think is within the league here. But Andrew, listen, if you've any builds on Ryan's fantastic promo there, please fire ahead.
All right, well, what we've got here is we've had two matches with four competitors, and those four competitors are amongst, and this is not hyperbole, folks, the greatest in the world at this game. William Bibbiani, Chance Ellison, Marisol McKee, and of course, your new champion, Sam Levine. Let me tell you, if you ever see this foursome walk into your bar trivia night, run screaming. You will lose every single time. These are the greatest that there are at the game. But as we said, the Schmodown is full of nothing but the greatest. At the beginning of the season, sometimes you see a new champion crown and you see them take over and push things in an entirely new direction. I don't know for sure if we're going to see that new direction or if in 3 months, after a few matches to determine the whole thing, we'll be right back where we started with Marisol and Sam facing off again. No matter which of those options we get, we're going to be in for a great show from all of these folks. I can't wait to see more. And if this is the kind of performance we're going to see throughout the season, again, four of the greatest, then I am super excited for everything Schmodown that is coming down the line, because this was everything you could possibly ask for. Two perfect performances. Let me repeat that. Two perfect performances. Sam Levine and Marisol McKee did not ask for multiple choice. They did not check down the question. They did not do anything except answer correctly for the entire length of the matchup. I don't care who you are. That's a scary thing to see. And with Sam Levine's grasp over the speed round, he may be holding onto that belt until the belt polish runs out, folks. He might have to order more. It's true. Sam Levine is your champion. Marisol McKee is a deserving champion. She's already proven she's one of the best to ever hold the belt with her numbers. Keith, you're the stats guy. You're going to nod your head when I say that. Marisol McKee, yeah, one of the greatest champions in Schmodown history. What a way to kick it off. And I got to say, Ryan, you were on the money with a lot of that stuff. This is just high caliber movie trivia performance. And it is great to see this being recognized, the sport that everybody at some point or other has played with their friends when they're out at a bar or hanging around the house. We've all fired off a little trivia now and then. And this is what it looks like when you take that to the highest level. Kudos to everybody involved here. Can't wait to see the matches this is setting up. But all in all, final thoughts on this week from the Elk. Hot damn, that was a heck of a show.
Agreed. And listen, I think it's a match where there's a winner and a loser, but there really is no losers. Because no, there isn't. Like, you can't, Marisol couldn't have done anything more except been trigger quicker on the buzzer. That's really four. It. You know, that's it. And I am very, very excited to see how this all plays out over the next kind of few months, how we're going to figure out new contenders, how this is all going to shape out, what Oyama's going to do with his free-for-all shot, and just anyone else is going to come in. Like, we haven't even seen a new rookie yet. Like, for all we know, there could be a new Oyama, a new Smets waiting to come into the league. So it could be very exciting stuff over the next week. But Parmesan, 60 seconds on the clock. Give us your last thoughts on this week.
Listen, when they were talking about the stats that were broken at the end of this match, they pitched a perfect game, 100% accuracy. It's never happened before in the history of the sport. It's never happened in the history of movie trivia, period, in my opinion. So that's amazing. Numbers were broken. Records were shattered. Audiences were satisfied. Audiences are raving about these matches. I mean, these are matches and moments in sports that are going to be talked about for many, many years to come. And congratulations to every single person involved in putting this sport, this thing that we love so much, known as the Movie Trivia Schmodown. So great matches, great times. I cannot wait to see where Season 9 reboot is going next, because it is a reboot of epic proportions. Anything is possible. Anything can happen on that new set and new studio. So congratulations, MTS. We're here for the long haul, and it's going to be one heck of a ride.
Elk, I have no more to say, so please do see us out for this week.
As always, it's been an absolute thrill, folks, to have you joining us as we talk a little bit about one of our favorite sports in the whole wide world. That's right, movie trivia. We break it down, whether it was the FCL or now the Schmodown. We bring you the stats, we bring you the opinions, and we bring you everything I say, which is objectively correct. That's right, we'll be back next time to talk some more, and hopefully we'll have some matches as super exciting as these ones. For Keith, the man who brings you all the match breakdowns. For Ryan, check him out on everything he does online. One of the hardest working men out there, always, always hustling. And of course, a big thank you to our man in the back. That's CB, Chris Barnes, our super producer. He's the one who's making us all look good here. If you'd like to find any of us online, you can always check us out. Don't forget to go ahead and like this video if you like the video. And if not, hey, come on back next time and we'll try to convince you again. Looking for me online, you can find me at Kelk Andrew. I occasionally tweet things about things. Keith, if you're online and you're looking for a Kilduff, where do you go?
Keith, what am I? Oh, yeah, I'm KeithKilduff89 on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see where I'm sitting in a rugby stadium on Instagram, you usually get a bit of that from me, and then the odd drunken tweet every now and again, depending on where we're at. Other than that, I am working on a new little project, which I'm hoping to bring you guys in some way, shape, or form, but we'll leave that to mystery for another bit. But Parmesan, you've got a load of stuff going on. What are they?
Really? Do I? I don't know. But anywho, listen, you can find me, in all sincerity, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPM5. I do a show every Saturday called And I Quote at Saturdays, 12 p.m. EST, where I interview content creators of all shapes and sizes and join us any and all corners of the nerd universe. New episodes just went out this past weekend, so check those out. I'm more than happy to hear from you. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. And you can find me here talking about This Week in the Schmodown, the best thing in sports and entertainment today. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And I'm just happy to be here. Thanks, folks. This was fun.
And real quick, just want to throw this out there for you folks. In case you're looking to reach our wonderful super producer, Chris Barnes is at Chris Barnes UK online. It's been great talking to all of you. We've got amazing competitors. We've got beasts with belts. We've got championships being challenged for. Always an exciting show in the Schmodown. And we'll always be here to help you break it all down. We did it this week, and we'll do it again next week on This Week in the Schmodown.